We like to have a special focus on our teaching and our preaching here at the chapel as well. And so it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you our fall focus and to share some ideas and thoughts and challenges with you in that. So with that, I'd like to pray again and ask for the Lord to speak to us. So Father in heaven, it's a real joy to be able to meet together here in worship this morning. But we come with hungry hearts, Lord, to hear from you, from your word, as it's spoken, as I try to speak as best as I can, Lord, as you lead. But most of all, Lord, as you open our hearts and our ears to your heart, your words, your truth, your life for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us all, and that, Lord God, you're leading us in these days and in this generation in which we live. Lord, in your precious name we ask it. Amen. To begin, I'd like to tell you a brief story. A number of years ago, on one of the backpacking expeditions that I was at with Dave McGraw and several other young fellows, we hiked into Fortress Lake from Alberta, and you actually hike into British Columbia, south of Jasper. And at the campsite at Athabasca Crossing, the first evening, you have the privilege of having a campfire there as part of that backpacking experience, because it's not always in every spot you can do that. So we had a fire going, and the sun had set, and it was a lovely evening. But I realized that we were probably a little short of firewood, so I decided I'd go find another nice piece of firewood. So I left the camp spot, and I headed down into the trees, into this thick bush, and I was looking for just that perfect piece of firewood, a nice dead standing tree with the bark off of it, nice and clean and so on. And I wandered around in the bush, and I wandered around, and I wandered around until I finally found that perfect tree. But, of course, when you're backpacking, you don't carry a chainsaw. And so, to get it back to the camp, I had to get that rascal out of the ground. So I started pushing, pulling, around and around and around and around that tree I went, pushing, pulling. It was stubborn. For a dead tree, it sure had strong roots yet. And I just kept going and going and going and going, and finally it started to let go, and I wrenched it out of the ground, and it came crashing down, ready. And then I stood up, and I looked around. All I could see was trees that all looked exactly the same. And I'd gone around and around that tree so many times, I had no idea which direction to leave that bush from. Was I lost? No. I don't think I was lost because I hadn't started wandering around yet. Was I disoriented? Yes. Now, I did a very untypical male thing, which was ask for help. Exactly. One of the things that we always do when we're in the bush is we always make sure we carry a whistle with us. So there in the bush, I just stopped because I did not know which way to go back. But I blew my whistle, and my buddies up at the campsite knew right away. They blew their whistle. Oh, there it is over there. I picked up my piece of firewood and headed out through the trees and was back to the camp in just a few minutes. Have you ever been disoriented? Have you ever reached a place in life where just the pressures and the challenges and the busyness and all that goes on with it, maybe the crises that happened, the death in the family, sickness, whatever, has left you somewhat disoriented? Which way do I turn? Which way do I go? And even worse, has maybe left you feeling separated from family, from friends, from the place that you could call home, from the way, the journey, the finding and knowing which way to go. I believe that all of us have experienced and are experiencing disorientation in our times, in our lives. And some of us may even feel like we are lost, having wandered and wandered and wandered for years perhaps, not quite finding the place we can call home and the people that we can call our friends. Scriptures tell us a very familiar verse, Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Another way of that verse in the New Living Translation says, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. I've thought about that verse, and it certainly tells us that all sin separates us from God, and that with sin in our lives, we are unable to measure up to live up to God's glorious standard. But I've also wondered if coming short of the glory of God means that we can't even find it. We don't even know for sure how to live for God's glory. We don't even know for sure what direction it may be in, because sin has separated us from our God. And we live in a culture today which is living out and which is demonstrating many, many aspects, both in people's choices and in their mental state, that they have lost their way. People have lost their way in life. Now, you're sitting there watching me. I want you to participate now. Here's what I'd like you to do. Can you, with two or three other people around you, come up with two or three words that would be indicators of how people are demonstrating lostness in their life? And you think about it in your world, in your community, perhaps, in your circle of influence. What ways can we say that's an indication of lostness? There's some disorientation there. There's some confusion there. Just turn together and come up with two or three words that you could use as indications of lostness. Okay, time's up. Someone, just give me one of your words. What's an indication of lostness? Stress, yes. Anger. Fear. What was that? Oh, they hide, yes. Okay, yes. Confusion, good. Control, yeah, there's a good one. When you feel like you're lost, you just maybe want to control everything, yeah. Addictions. Morals. Your moral slide. Yeah, we don't know what's right and wrong anymore.
Grasping.
A fear of being alone. People are very alone, yes. I'm sure you came up with lots more. As I was contemplating this, some words that came to my mind were a sense of hopelessness. Or purposelessness, not knowing what really it's all about, anxiety, depression. People become a law unto themselves, which leads to lawlessness. We know that people, when they are feeling lost, have lost their way from life and knowing a God who loves and cares for them, that people often adopt other gods to take our Heavenly Father's place, whether it be wealth or even just the dream of being wealthy. We know there's extremely distorted sexuality today in our culture, which has become a god or an idol in itself. I think sometimes we even look to the government and treat it as an idol, expecting the government to come through to care and to rescue us. Perhaps we look at education or status as a path to well-being. I'm wondering if also an indication of our desire for extended youthfulness may actually be an indication of disorientation and maybe lostness. And last but not least, my high expectation of having a wonderful and carefree retirement. Could that be an indication that we have lost our way for what truly is meaningful and purposeful in life? Now, we know that Jesus said to us, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to help human beings who have lost their way in life to find and to come to life in him. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus spoke clearly when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' life and love on earth began the greatest rescue mission ever undertaken, and you and I, as followers of Jesus, are commissioned to continue that mission of finding those who have lost their way or are disoriented and helping them to find their way back to the Lord Jesus. As recipients of Jesus' love, purpose, and hope, he empowers us to be salt and light in our generation. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to his disciples and in extension to us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This past winter and spring, the overseers here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel have spent considerable time meeting together, praying together, and really asking God for clarity to understand where we are as a congregation, and especially where we can continue to move forward in, building on the basics of our faith and our history so that we can continue to reach our generation with the message of God's love and life. Today, we'd like to launch a series of Sunday messages and a fall focus that will encourage us and challenge us and give us the opportunity to not only think about who we are as a church family together, but to really work together to see our community have an opportunity to find their way in life through relationship with our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. Our individual lives, our family lives, and our church life here are all an influence. And I'd like to think with you this morning that we have three aspects of our influence that we need to be clear about and continue to work on. That being our message, who we are as messengers, and the means or method that we use to declare that message to this generation. So I'd like to look at those three things briefly. First of all, the message. We know that the message, or the gospel, is anchored in God's invitation for us to find our way in him, to be reconciled to him through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul was very clear on this message and his commitment to speak it and to preach it in his ministry. And his declaration is really something that we can stand with as well. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to read a couple of passages which were Paul's commitment to the message, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 2 specifically, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then turn to 1 Corinthians 15, again at verse 1. It's like he introduced this letter with the declaration in chapter 2, and he concludes this letter here the same sort of thing. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on to declare those witnesses who saw Christ resurrected from the dead. The message does not change. The message is anchored in the good news of Jesus Christ for us. God is holy, loving, and merciful. Man, though created in God's image, is without God and without hope in and of himself. Jesus Christ has come, God in human flesh, to reconcile us back to God by his atoning sacrifice. And every human being is invited to a new inner life, life-directing purpose and eternal hope, through faith and relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the message that the church has preached for the last 2,000 years. And we, the followers of God, should commit ourselves afresh to know the message, to be certain of the message, and be able to articulate it both in abbreviated and in extended fashions. We should study the message, guard the message, and proclaim the message, and be able to stand strong, even in the face of opposition, for this message of life in Christ Jesus. There is no other way that we can find our way back to God except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may attempt to find our way to God through works and efforts, but in that itself, we could become lost and disoriented easily. It's through the grace of Jesus and his forgiveness to us. It is the only message in the whole world that offers life to us, not by our own works, but by God's grace, mercy, and favor. So in a culture of lostness, we stay oriented throughout all of our life's journey by staying focused on the true north of Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. Now, folks, I want to be honest with you this morning. Most of us could probably give the basics of the gospel message. If we've been raised in Sunday school and gone to Awana and other programs, youth ministries, we could probably say the message. But I fear lest in some token the message of the gospel of Christ has lost its excitement for us. And we tend to be bored with this story of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. That we tend to say, oh, ho-hum, we've heard it before. I want to challenge you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to restore in your heart and in your words a fresh excitement for what can happen when lost people hear about the love of God for them and his invitation to come back to the camp. When you've been wandering around in the bush for years, lost and disoriented, Jesus said, you can come home. Come home. So may God give us this freshness and this excitement. As I mentioned a number of weeks ago, I pray that this winter and season that we will see many people come to faith in Christ, and that a number of Sundays we're going to have to open up this baptismal tank here because people are going to be declaring their fresh faith in Jesus by being baptized. Can you believe me with that? Can you believe that God is going to save people this year and that we have the opportunity of being part of that? Now, secondly, we are messengers carrying this timeless message. Our lives are an influence on the culture around us. We are called to be salt and light as the presence of the Spirit of Jesus is real and at work in our lives. I'd like you to turn now to another testimony of Paul's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We saw where Paul was deeply committed to the unchanging message, and yet we find in 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 3, Paul's commitment and declaration on his willingness to be a faithful messenger in how he dealt with challenges and situations. And here he just reiterates a number of these situations. I pick it up in verse 3. Paul says, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." Wow, what a list. But I can almost be certain that as Paul penned that, he probably had a story in mind for every phrase, a situation that had happened, a challenge he had faced, and his confidence that as he depended entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ alive in his heart, that he was able to be a faithful messenger, not only in his words, but in his actions and his reactions. Each of us are declaring a message through the way we live. And it is our privilege and responsibility to validate the truth of the gospel and its power to change us as we face challenges and situations in a Christ-like manner. This is a lifelong venture, tested and proven in the everyday events of life and in the unusual occasions that test us to our very limits. So, on the one hand, the message does not change. But we, as the messengers, need to be daily changing, daily allowing Christ to continue to shape us and mold us. And aren't we thankful for the provision we have and the promise that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. All of us are changing. I'll be the first one to admit that I know there's areas in my life that I know aren't mature yet. And that oftentimes if my inner voice would come out, people would go, "Whoa, that was a childish thought." But then again, I might say the same thing for some of your inner voices. We're all needing to grow, aren't we? As messengers, we're all continuing to let the Lord Jesus shape us, mold us, and help us. Now, I want to move on to the third aspect. We have a message. We are messengers intent on growing in Christ so that our lives validate the message. But there are various methods or means in which we can declare and take this message to the world around us. The basic character traits of Christ-like maturity are generally consistent as we allow the Lord to change us. The message has not changed, and yet the method or means of communicating the offer of love, hope, and purpose in Christ is open to much creativity and adaptation. I invite you to turn with me to one more passage and testimony of Paul's, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. "A man who was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, a man who was willing to allow the reality of Christ to be shown through his life as a messenger, said this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, 'For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, so that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those without law, as without law, although not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you.'" Do you notice the contrast? A man committed to a timeless, changeless message is willing to adjust his approach and the way he connects and it relates with people in a variety of ways with the intent of being able to get the message across to them in the way that they would best understand it. I would like to challenge us here this year at Westlake Gospel Chapel, as we live in a world, a Western culture particularly, who is basically writing the church off as being irrelevant, that we, as God's people, following the leading of His Spirit, have the opportunity to actually relate to people in ever-increasing honesty and openness as we understand their lostness or disorientation and the message of hope we have in Christ Jesus. But I would like to challenge you that it calls for a nimble sensitivity and adaptability, because people need to hear about the love of the Lord in a language they understand. We support foreign missions, and those missionaries go to various parts of the world. And even last week, as we had the Bustins here, they're working in Ethiopia with Wycliffe, attempting to translate the scriptures into the language of the people. They have to be able to learn the language, speak the language, teach the language in order to communicate it. You know what? We need to learn to understand the language of the people who live right in town here. Oh, it might be English. Barely. But we need to be able to understand how we can know their needs and their culture and be able to share that message with them. The local church really is an ongoing miracle, and we are God's children who are alive in Him, and together we make up a body of believers composed of many contributing cells. Every congregation has its own culture. It's made up of its history and values and those who participate and interact together. It's shaped by the congregation's sense of purpose and empowerment. To remain relevant and effective in our attempt to connect people to Jesus, we need to be continually open to evaluate and to change and to adjust our methods or our means of reaching our community. To understand and to give shape to our church culture, the overseers have given consideration again to our values, the things that we hold dear to and build on, so that we can effectively continue to be healthy messengers with a clear message. And so with that, this past winter, we took time to review our church history and to understand where we have as a congregation have come from. Maybe some of you would have questions on that, and I would encourage you to talk to the overseers, especially to those who have been here for many years. Understand this church history of where we're at. But we've also taken time to review our values, the values that reinforce our church family and the culture that we have here as a church, so as to reflect Christ to the community. And so, as we think about what's happening here at the chapel this fall, there's many different ministries happening, many different things launching. And as I mentioned earlier, we've started Awana, and youth group has started. Today, Sunday school has started. And really, with our close association with Bethel Bible Camp and with the movie nights that we're starting as well, all of these are means by which we're connecting with people around us. We also here at the church partner with Freedom Session and with other ministries in the community, attempting to be salt and light in our community. And so with that, we also work together to put on Operation Christmas Child. And with that, I'd like to just take a moment and welcome Kendra, who's here from Calgary, with Operation Christmas Child. We talked with the team last night and are going to meet tonight with other interested people. Talk to Kendra afterwards about that. But we work together as a community to be able to take this message of life in Christ. And then in just a few weeks, or a couple of weeks, we're starting the Alpha program. Another way to offer this message of life in Christ to our community. But here's the crunch of it all. Programs are important, beneficial, and fruitful. But our church family culture confirms the authenticity of the message. I'll say it again. Programs are important, but our church family culture confirms the authenticity of our message. We say we believe in the love of Jesus, but do we love one another? We say we believe in prayer, but do we pray? And so on. And so as we've just spent time thinking about this, we're asking, would any newcomer coming through these doors on this Sunday morning, would they understand, not only by the things we say and the songs we sing, but would they understand the message that we hold dear to and our commitment to be messengers by our culture together, our getting along together, our willingness to serve and to work and to labor and to love one another. And so with that, our fall focus has a plan, and here's what it is. Over the next couple of months and a little more, the overseers will take turns each Sunday morning to speak about one of the values that we hold dear as part of our church culture. And just to give you a little preview of that, we have basically want to talk about 8 different values. And some of these are not new at all, but we want to talk about how we live them out in today's generation. Here's those 8 values. It's the centrality of the word, prayer, corporate worship and communion, the plurality of leadership, the priesthood of all believers, participation in the life of the church, raising up the next generation, and a commitment to missions, evangelism, and discipleship. So each Sunday, one of us on the overseers team are going to take one of those themes and do some teaching on it and just share some ideas and thoughts, some scripture, and some of the possibilities that we can look at as a congregation. In addition to that, if you take out your this little insert here. In addition to that, we're going to have this little insert in the bulletin every Sunday. And on the back page is just a few lines. What we'd like you to do is, as you're listening Sunday morning during the message, or perhaps shortly after, in the next day or so afterwards, if you have questions or ideas or thoughts about how we can further enhance and implement a culture that's in line with our values, we'd like to encourage you to write those things down before it slips your mind. Questions, ideas, thoughts, and so on. Just jot them down. And then we'd like you to give this to one of the overseers or put it in the offering slot out in the foyer there, so that as overseers, we can collect these and use them as a means of thinking through the questions we need to answer, the things we need to address, and so on. Now, we have at the bottom of that a place to put your name. We've done that intentionally because we know that sometimes questions need to be addressed in one-on-one conversation, that we need to listen well, we need to understand, we need to hear. And so we don't want this to be a secretive thing, but an invitation to dialogue, an invitation to conversation. And so we as the overseers can take this list and look at it and be able to meet with you, or you come and meet with us, so we can continue to be open to what God might be saying and doing in our whole lives as a congregation. Then, using this input, both in what you hand to us in writing and what you come and just talk to us about, we want to have 3 Sunday evenings in the fall here. The first one is in the beginning of October, and then the end of October, and then again in November. 3 Sunday evenings where we'd like to be open to meet here, and we're going to call them round tables. And in those 3 evenings, we want to take time to talk about what has been spoken and preached about in previous Sundays, and using the things that you've written out here as guides for us as well and indications, we want to try to answer questions. We want to try to think through scriptural truths and concepts that help further enhance those values. But as well, we want to take time to strategize and dream about how we could further make this culture real in our community, in our church community, and how we can be even more energized by the presence of God to reach our culture. We want to take time in those evenings to pray and to ask for God to guide us and lead us. So with those three aspects, both Sunday preaching, your opportunity for input, both in writing and in speaking to us, and in three roundtable gatherings throughout the fall, we would like to ask the Lord to lead us and guide us to be His people in ever clearer and brighter ways, being salt and light to a community that is lost or at least disoriented. So here's my final challenge to you in summary. The overseers here at the Westlaw Gospel Chapel invite you to join us in a journey. Number one, to clarify and encourage the proclamation of the unchanging message of life in Christ that will rescue us from our lostness and disorientation and give us fresh purpose and hope. Number two, we would like you to reorient your personal and family lives to the ongoing transformation of heart and mind so that we as individual messengers will be people who validate the truth that we follow the way, the truth, and the life in all that we do. And number three, we'd like to ask you to join with us in keeping and building a church family culture of Christ-centered worship, of love, trust, and obedience, combined with a relational connectedness and an adaptability so that we, as the Gospel Chapel, will not become irrelevant in our culture, but will become a force that honors God and will see many people find life in Christ. Is that too big of a challenge? I hope it is, because we need God's help in doing this. We need His grace at work in our lives. We have a great future ahead of us, great opportunity. Let us not miss this time and this hour, but be the people of God, following, loving, worshiping, and being flexible to be able to honor Him. Stand together with me. So, Father in heaven,